to this podcast, everyone. Today we have a wonderful guest. His name is Yasu Ishida. Hello, Yasu.
Hi, Josephine.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
So I wanted to ask you some questions for our audience. So you are a professional storyteller and magician. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
So my first question I wanted to ask you is to think back the first time, right before you became a professional storyteller.
Uh-huh.
Is there anything you wish someone would have told you?
You know, we are both have a theater background, and you know, we are both study theater at college and grad school. So I think when I was a theater student, I focused on too much on being better than anyone in the quality, like the high quality performance. And all I thought was, I'm going to do a better quality performance than anyone else, which pushed me, which was good, which pushed me to hone my craft and then, you know, improve my quality of show. But when I'm, you know, in this business, I realized doing better than anyone else is not the only way it matters. I feel like I do something different than other people. And I wish someone told me, relax, Yasu, you don't have to do better than anyone else, because, you know, it's hard to do better than professionals who have been doing for a long time. But I was so naive as a theater student that I could do higher quality show than, you know, professional theater company who has been doing 60 years or professional storyteller who's doing 30 years. But after I graduated, I realized that the reality that I necessarily won't do the higher quality show than them, but what's my strengths and what I can offer and how can I do different? That's something that is not offered. And then that's why I do something like combined storytelling with magic and Japanese theaters, which all of them are my strengths. And I do interactive performance, which I think lots of, it is one of my strengths to interact with kids or family audiences. So I guess I wish maybe someone told me, you know, doing better than anyone else is not the only way. But you can think out of box and then hone your creativity. But when I was like student, I was just so thinking of one thing, which I have a good, I think it has a good part, but I guess that's like one thing I wished someone told me.
That's awesome. Wow. That's words of wisdom. Thank you so much.
Oh, I failed a lot, and you know, that failure is the wisdom to me.
So is there anything you wish you could say to someone who maybe, you know, they hear this from you, but they want to someday become a professional storyteller? What would you say?
So this is, I think, a great topic to probably talk about. I think this is my regret. I don't know if you have a regret, Josephine, at the grad school or undergrad theater student, but my biggest regret is I didn't fail more. Like, because as a student, consequence of failure is so minimal. Like, I do like maybe 130 shows a year, but 70% of my show come from showcases. And if I fail at the showcase, my income will dramatically goes down. So like I will lose maybe 20 to 30 shows at one showcase.
Wow.
So I cannot fail. I have to do A-plus material, the best. But when I was, I think, theater students at the grad school or undergrad, I was scared of jumping in the cliff of if I failed, what would other, you know, classmates think, or I don't want to get embarrassed or something like that. So I tried lots of things, but I didn't fail enough. And I think that's when you can just jump off the cliff and then maybe you get embarrassed, but that's it. And then you learn from that experience. And I think cost of failure is so minimum, like crucial in as a, when you became professional, you cannot fail. So you sometimes you have to do a show that sells more, but it's you learn most, I think, from failure. And I fail a lot as a professional, but but like the cost of failure is so high. So I wish I failed more and I learned more in the grad school or as a theater student.
That's awesome. That's like the motto, right? You risk, you fail, you risk.
Yes. Yeah, great. Taking a risk that, yeah, you cannot so much take a risk. Like, well, you can take a risk as a professional, but I think the cost of that risk directly will affect your income, you know?
Yeah.
So I wish I failed more.
And so what about, because you're also an amazing magician.
Oh, thank you.
What if there was someone who was wanting to be a magician? Is the same thing to them? Would it be the same advice?
Yeah, I think so. And I think especially magic, if someone wants to try out, I think perform at a different venue is very different audiences, different venue are very, I think, important for a magician. I perform like the magic for preschoolers to senior center and everyone in between. But, you know, like that different audiences teaches different things, which can be applied to different audiences. For example, when I was starting undergrad, I was part of the improv comedy troupe. I was the variety act that the tour was them, and then I was magic act in between the variety act. And we did so many comedy club. I learned how to handle the heckler because they will heckle. It's Midwest in Minnesota. So, you know, they drink a lot because it's cold, freezing outside. But that heckler, how to handle heckler, that skill I learned from it, from failure on the stage, really right now, I use it how to handle with the unexpected kids, how they come to the school show, and then one kid just acted like, you know, come up to me, or, you know, that heckler technique really applies to my how to control the audiences in the kids show right now.
Oh, wow.
Or, yeah, or what, like.
So what do you do with your technique?
So I, for example, well, I don't know that this applies to like specific, but heckler or someone who just disrupt you is like looking for attention. That's a currency they want. So what you want to do is it's case by case, but I sometimes do is I acknowledge them, right? Like I acknowledge like, oh wow, you have something to say, but then the heckler realize, oh wow, like I'm just getting, you know, respond to it. So it's different type of heckler has a different attention seeker. So you have to be careful about that. If you give power to like some of the heckler, they will take over the show. But judgment skill, that which heckler you should respond to, just like shut them down or just realize, hey, you're doing stupid things right now. Do you realize? And then putting the audience pressure to them is one of the technique, I think. But one of the technique that you shouldn't pay attention to, like some kids just being loud or commenting, if you give the power to them to take over the show, they will take over. So I guess it's not specific situation what to do, but the judgment that you how to deal with unexpected moments. That's, I think, I learned from comedy club a lot. And another thing I think I learned the comedy club is the use of mic. Lots of, I think, theater people, we don't use mic so much in our production. Like if you do musical or something, you do. But there's a stand-up comedian uses mic so effectively when you whisper or when you handle the mic to the audiences and then, you know, let them speak. There's so many techniques in the mic that I think we didn't learn as a theater student. But I think like I learned in the comedy club, and that's really useful when I'm doing a kids show right now, like school shows.
That's so awesome.
So I'm very thankful. So perform for different audiences, perform for different venue. Sometimes the street performance skill. I used to do street performances in Waikiki all the time. That how to get the attention or how to capture the people's, how to hold the attention really transferred into, some of the library show I'm doing or, so I guess as a magician, you can perform everywhere. So perform many different audiences and perform at the many different venues. I think that's the, probably advice.
That's such good advice. And so as we're talking about these things, you're a great performer. What made you first fall in love with performing?
So I think actually it was Kansas. I think Kansas City Japan Festival. I saw this Japanese storyteller who uses magic, Japanese theater, origami, Japanese storytelling in her show. And I saw her before I was seeing her. I was totally just doing a magic tricks, the magic show. I was magician. But when I saw her show, Kuniko Yamamoto, I just felt like, wow, this show is more magical than magic show. And I after the show, I just went to her performance room, green room, and then I said, hey, would you take your apprentice? Would you take me as an apprentice? That's what I asked. I think that's the moment I felt like storytelling is, for me, more magical or as magical as performing magic. And then I think I shifted to more magician, to the storytelling more than like the magic, you know?
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. And
thank you.
Is she your favorite storyteller right now, or do you have?
Yes, I have lots of favorite storyteller, but she's definitely one of them who gave me so many influences in what I do.
Yeah, and she's very good. So, what motivates you as a performer to keep on doing what you do?
Maybe this is where I think about how I started in this performance is when I saw a movie called Patch Adams, which came out 1998 or something like that, like 22 years ago. That was a long time.
Oh, wow. But,
yeah, we're old, very old. But anyway, 22 years ago, I saw this movie, and then people who don't know about Patch Adams, it's based on a real person who's a young man who's a Patch Adams, who's becoming a doctor, medical doctor. And then he realized there's not much of love and caring in the health care system in the United States. So he goes to the patients from kids to elderly people to, entertain and communicate them and then show their love. And then, that's the story about how Patch Adams becomes hospital clown. And the real Patch Adams came. The Robin Williams played the Patch Adams, but real Patch Adams came to Japan after I saw that movie. And then he talks about the love, what he does. And then I realized when I saw the movie and then heard Patch Adams, that is exactly what I wanted to do. Making a difference in people's life through performance as a tool. So he told about there's a professional hospital clown company in New York, which hires and trains the professional clown, hospital clown. So I called them and they hung up me 3 times because my English was bad. And then they thought it's a prank call.
Oh no.
But I know, but you know, when you're young, you're not afraid of anything. So I called 4th time, they gave up. And then they told I have to have theater skill, improv skill, and then I have to have visual skill, like magic or juggling or some kind of variety skill. So I came to the United States to study theater and English, and also I went to magic school to learn magic. So what motivate you, motivate me to perform is I want to be a pacha dance for some young yasu, some young kids. Because when I saw pacha dance, I was in the darkest time of my life that I was lost what to do in my life. But watching that movie really gave me hope. And that's what pacha dance did to me, made the difference in my life. So I want to be some kids or someone's pacha dance in my life. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah, that motivated me.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
I love that. Oh, it's inspiring for me too. Be a Patch Adams.
thank you, Susan.
So, how do you know what projects that you want to take on and which ones that you should avoid? Is it a hunch that you feel, or how?
You know, and I hate to say this. I hate to say this, but I think it depends on when you're a student and then when you're making money.
Yes.
When you're, I think, making money, I think project that to avoid is not, does something not make money? First of all, I do 130 shows a year, so I cannot afford so much of the time to do some something that doesn't make much of money. I unfortunately have to think if this show going to be sell. But you also can do something that you love and something you can sell together, I feel like. So for me, I always take on a project that I can do well in the market, I can sell in the market, I can totally enjoy, and also something artistic I want to do that please my heart, please my soul, but also you can do professionally.
Yes.
And I think when there's grad student, I think I said yes to everything, which was, I think, my weakness. But doing different things, well, I guess doing different things is a great way to do, but also doing something deeper is a great thing to do. Focus on, you know, some area and doing a deeper, because, you know, Josephine, you know this, but theater trainings in academic setting are very like diverse, you know, like you do 100 things, I feel like, at the college, you know?
Yes.
So I think sometimes you want to take a time to focus on one thing. If you, like, we took clowning class together, but if you can focus on that clowning, for, you know, and then do it deeper, I think that's kind of beneficial when you're, I think, studying 100 things, you know, because everyone else do 100 things too. So, I don't know, that's kind of my take on it. Yeah. What do you think, Josephine?
Oh, I think that's absolutely right. It's very different in the real world outside of school. And this is all very, very good advice for someone who wants to, you know, maybe become a Patch Adams or a Yasu.
Yeah.
So, just more questions here. But yeah. Where do you get your inspiration from? Is it something? Is it like books you read?
Yeah.
Come to your mind. How do you find inspiration for this new work?
I love, you know, I love like listening to or watching great stories from movies, or, you know, sometimes listening to people's stories. So I try to different kind of storytelling form, like, you know, film, from theater, from even like a personal story, like how you go to the museum and then you learn about artists, you know. I try to, see like different kind of storytelling forms and then be inspired by. But I'm a solo artist, so it's hard to see other people's show sometimes, you know, because when I'm busy, other people's are busy too. So yeah. I wanted to do more. But especially in magic, I tried to look for the inspiration, not in magic community, because everyone else see the same thing in the magic community, and then I try to look not inside magic community. So, or like storytelling, if I want to get stories inspiration, it's great to go to storytelling festival. I love listening to stories, but I think I try to find the inspiration outside the box because being in that box sometimes limited you, I think.
Absolutely. And so if someone wanted to see one of your shows, how would they be able to book a show with you or shows coming up that they can come and see?
Yeah. So if you go to my website, www.yasutheater.com, you can totally see my video or my performance. And also, I try to be good at this, but my schedule is on there too. So I might be, this spring I'm performing in Missouri and also South Carolina, North Carolina, and this festival. Oh, in Columbus Children's Festival, I'm performing one of the performer in Georgia. So please check the, my website, schedule will be up, and then you can see I might be near you. And this summer, I have a 84 library show in 5 states. So mostly in South, but if you're living close to that library, I will be, it's a public, all of them are public library show. So you can come for free and then we can spend time together.
That's so awesome that people can come for free. That's really, really a gift. And
thank you.
Is listening and they have children or even as adults, definitely check out Yasu and his performances. It is definitely worth your time. He's a great performer, a great magician, a great storyteller. And
thank you, Josephine.
Are worth the travel, even if it's a little bit of travel. I will be posting his website, yasutheater.com, on the description if you want to definitely check him out. He is such a great asset to have here in the United States. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you, Josephine. I struggle with artist visa. I did like 3 different artist visa after I graduate. And now I have a green card, but thank you. Thank you. Please tell the immigration office.
By getting a connection someday. But thank you so much, Yasu, for your time. I know
thank you so much, Josephine.
A blessing. And for the listeners, thank you for listening in. We have gotten some gold today that we have heard from Yasu. And hopefully, if you are inspired, which I imagine you are, to be a performer, a magician, a storyteller, definitely take these tips to heart and check Yasu out on his next performance. So, till next time, enjoy all this information, and I'll catch you on the next episode.